This is Joe.
And this is Nat, and you're listening to the Getting Better with Age podcast, the show that helps you navigate midlife challenges and turn them into opportunities to grow and evolve into a happier, healthier, and more empowered you.
And remember, getting older doesn't mean that the best years have to be behind you. We believe, like a fine wine, you and your life can get better with age, and we're here to show you exactly how to do that.
So grab a glass of vino, kick off your shoes, and join us in discovering how to make the next chapter of your life the best one yet.
Hello, everyone. It's Joe.
This is Nat, and welcome back to part two of Getting Better at Age with Jody Silverman. We met Jody in part one, and she works with empty nest moms, and I just have to say she's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so we're going to continue our conversation with her. But first, I want to review what we talked about in part one, just to give everybody a little refresher. There were the four tenets you talked about to, daring on and yep. What you need to know to dare on.
So dare on is a mantra. It's my life's mantra. It's a mantra of the moms who dare. And it's a mantra for you should you choose to accept the dare. Daring on, if used correctly and use it all, will help inspire you to keep on dreaming. It will drive you to face those fears. Understand your fears, welcome them and understand them. It will give you strength to persevere, especially through life's obstacles and challenges, because they will always be obstacles and challenges. And it will help fuel your adventures so that you never stop daring to try new things.
I love that you said it, because as you were talking about that, the word that was coming up was fuel. Like, because it's in those moments, like you said, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be adversity, there are going to be times to get out of your comfort zone where, okay, the kids are gone, they're grown, they're flown, now what do I do? Well, I want to do that, but you know what, that's scary, I don't know if I could. And so all this stuff is going to come to the surface, and that's where you need that fuel to go forward and persevere. So how do you use these tenets in helping the individuals that you support in daring on and going forward to deal with the challenges that are presented by being an empty nester?
Well, the first step, if you speaking directly to empty nest parents, the first step is creating a shift, and it's around letting go. It's letting go. It's creating the shift in your parenting and the way you show up for your children now that they might be in college or they might be living on their own, wherever they are, just not in your, even if they're living at home, but in an adult life.
Yeah.
And it's shifting from that fixer of all things, that 24/7 fixer, more to a coach or an advisor. If you don't like the word coach, you're more of an advisor. And we have to do it. It's about empowering and equipping your children to become decision-making adults and trusting. And you said something to me off camera. It's about trusting that the same universe, call it God, call it whatever for you, same universe that has your back has their back. Trusting that you've laid the foundation as their parent to allow them to make decisions. And some decisions will not be what you want them to be. Some decisions and choices you see your children making in college, whether it pertains to their friends or whether it pertains to their choice of area of study, their major. And yet, as long as there's no physical harm coming to our children, it is my firm belief that you have to let them make those choices. Even if you know deep down inside, it is not what they're meant to be doing. Sometimes you have to do it. So shifting from the fixer to the coach and advisor. And what that means is when your children do call you, because they will, because you're always their mom, you're always their dad. If you're their aunt and they call their aunt, you're always their parent figure. They will call you. And it's about you understanding, pause, receive. And that's it. Because 9 out of 10 times when my kids would call me from college or out in the world, they're calling to vent. They're calling just to unload because we're a safe space.
Of course.
And they really don't want my opinion or my thoughts. So here's your number one tip in making this shift. Own and adopt the permission question. You know, if Ellie calls me, I'm like, am I weighing in here or are you just venting?
Right.
So you have to make that shift first, because not only does it empower and equip your children, because they need to be adults, they need to make their own decisions, they need to make their own wrong or right decisions. Again, as long as it's not life-threatening, you know your children, you know if there's an underlying mental health issue. I'm not a doctor,
right,
but I'm saying all things created equal, they have to make these decisions. And when you can do that, you're also empowering yourself. And you're also equipping yourself and giving yourself permission to now focus on you, to dare on and try new things so that you can discover who you get to be now as a mom, as a dad, as a brother, as a son, as a whatever it is. And it might, and as a lawyer, as a CPA, whatever you are. And it's about letting go. And that shift helps you let go so that you can embark on like this parallel journey with your children, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that is so important, because I know it's very hard for parents to let go. And I see it so much where parents, you know, with kids in college and beyond, they still want to do everything for their kids. They want to call the professor. They want to fix this problem. They want to fix this problem. And I understand from a mom's perspective that it's hard, but they're never going to become their own person if you don't let them.
No.
And I love that you said it's not only empowering to them, but it's empowering to us too, as parents, because that letting go is letting go of that fear that they're going to make a mistake or they're going to fall down. And you know what? Sometimes they have to fall down to get back up again.
I love that, because I've never made the connection that letting go of them is actually the beginning of your journey, of you becoming your independent person who now is more their support network, that is no longer responsible for them and their success, where it's like, okay, now you're the baby bird. Now you got to go fly. And, you know, we tell our kids all the time that, look, it's your journey. We're here to love and support you, but we're not going to be around to tell you what to do. And we can't tell you what to do, because you have to learn to be responsible for you. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to become an adult. But when we were younger, especially with me, it's what I found is that as a parent, very often you control, because it brings your fears to the surface.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
It's true. And the other thing is what you just said is, if you tell your children constantly what to do and it doesn't work out, you're to blame. They have no ownership in the process. And I want a full disclosure. What I'm talking about now, I only know because I failed so miserably at it in the beginning. I only share what I've learned through my journey. And trust me when I tell you, you could get my kids here right now and they would say, oh my God, mommy, you were such the fixer and you always told us what to do. And it was through my coach training, and it was through practice, and it was through. So, you know, I'm sharing because I learned. And, you know, when we become parents, they don't hand you your baby in the guidebook.
Right.
100%. There's no guidebook. So these podcasts, let us, there are so many of us that have blazed the trail before you. We want to help make it less painful for you.
100%. I always say there's no such thing as failure. It's an expensive learning lesson.
Yes.
Emotionally expensive, time expensive, and financially expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we want to do, is we want to shine the light to make the journey for those who are a little bit further back to go, okay, maybe I don't have to learn the hard way. Maybe I don't have to make those mistakes. Maybe I can do it in a different way so that I can get past the adversity quicker, or maybe not experience at the level that we need to. Because, you know, we know as parents, especially, you know, we talk about growing up Jewish, Italian family, it's all the same, is that there's a propensity for people to tell people what to do and force someone's ideals onto the other people. And as we talk about with their kids, is if we're forcing our ideals onto them, that doesn't validate them. It doesn't honor them on their journey. And they're going to pick that up. And eventually you're going to get to the point where I'm tired of you telling me what the F to do. Like, it's my life. It's my journey. Trust me. I'm going to figure it out. I remember going through that with my mom.
Like,
would tell me what to do and why are you doing that? And you should do that. And I'm like, it's my journey. And I'm going to learn. Trust me. I may make mistake. I'm going to fall down, but I'm going to learn from it. You just to have the trust. And we had real open, honest conversations. Yeah. And I was good at getting to the truth. Basically, she was just scared.
Yeah.
You know, she made a lot of mistakes. She didn't want to see me make the same mistake.
Well, that's what it is. You said it. You hit it, Joe. It's our fears. It's our anxiety. You know, my son decided to leave college. He didn't finish college. Well, I got through the fear of, well, if he doesn't have that piece of paper, what's going to happen to him? I got through that much quicker than my husband.
Right.
We both came to it. And I have friends that needed to get past it.
Right.
Because the question of, do you think he'll ever go back to college?
Yeah.
I actually had to say, you know what? I know where that's coming from. It's coming from your heart.
Right.
The question's off the table. He's doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Our attempts to jump in and fix it is about our fear of our limiting beliefs, our doubts, a redo for us. And if we can pause in the moment and say, okay, what am I real? Why am I feeling this? Because truth is, if we really ask ourselves, this helped me. I asked myself, well, what was I like when I was in college and my mom wanted to try and fix things? I didn't want to talk to her. I'm like, well, oh my God, I am my mom. I didn't think I was, but I am my mom. Yeah. And so if you could put, you know, remember what you were like at 20, 23, 25, you needed your wings. And Joe, you said the other thing that is so crucial, when you keep questioning them, when you keep trying to tell them, no, 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 you're really telling them, I don't trust you.
Right.
Right.
Or believe in you. It's not what you want to tell them. That's what they're hearing. So absolutely. Yeah, right on.
Absolutely. And it's so, you know, I always say that as parents, we should really take a course on how to parent correctly, because we all come from a place of love. Like when we're coming from our fears, it's like, well, I love you. I don't want you to make the same mistakes, but we're not communicating that to them. Right. We're not sitting there going, look, you know what? This is what I experienced. And it's because of that and the pain that I went through and that I had to deal with, because I'm your parent, I don't want you to do that. So here's what I've learned. We don't come from that place. We project, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Right.
We project our fears onto them, which, as you said, and I love that, and I hope everybody listening can hear that, is that makes them feel, you don't trust me. You don't believe in me.
It does the opposite of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so important because, and going back to what you said earlier, this is how you begin your journey, is by letting them go, by trusting them, and by being there. Like the phone's there, the door's open. I'm here to love and support you on your journey. You want my feedback? I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
But my job is picking up after you and doing it. That's no longer, you are now at a different stage of your life. And now so am I. So now I need to go forward and figure out who I really am, why I'm really here, what I'm meant to do next with the next part of my journey. So for those individuals who are now going, oh, wow, this makes so much sense. I now see I got to release them. I've got to let them go, no matter how scary. And maybe I have to deal with that, you know, so some, they may need therapy that, you know, I don't know how to deal with this.
I was just going to say, call therapists. I think therapy is the most liberating place in the world. I went to see a therapist. I said, what does this say about me? I'm a coach supporting empty nest moms, and I'm here for help in my momming. And she's like, Jody, I'm a therapist who has a therapist. And I needed somebody who was going to be real with me, who was objective with me, because I wanted to feel better in my relationship with my children. So yeah, get a therapist. It's fun.
I love that you said that, because, you know, especially as for men, and again, I've been to therapy. I have no problem. If anybody's going to help me, sign me up. But there's this thing like if we ask for help, there's something wrong. And it's like, no, like you said, we didn't get an instruction manual. At least I didn't when I was born.
No.
And so we're trying to figure shit out on the fly. So if somebody can help us get through it easier and deal with what we're dealing, why wouldn't we consider that?
Yeah, that's what a coach, a therapist. And I just had to share, you know, I got a question a couple times. Frequently, people say, they've heard me, when people hear me say, I'm a mom all about moms. And people say, why moms? Because it's midlife women too, but they're like, why moms, Jody? And not a diss on dads. My husband is an amazing father. But I say it all the time. I said, because I truly believe with all my heart and soul that the only thing that can make a confident decision-making woman doubt her decisions, to doubt her judgment, and kick her on her butt is that of becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. Because now you're making decisions for another human being. You're raising another human being. And I got to a place in my parenting where I wasn't really trusting my reaction. I wasn't understanding how my reaction was based in fear of myself. And my husband saw it. And although I wanted to say, get away from me, how could you know better than me? I'm a mom. I got a therapist. I said, look, and she's my reality check.
Right.
So yeah, get help.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was something on your journey that, because yeah, I think women are indoctrinated with, you know, you got to be a good mom, a good wife, a good cook, a good, like all these things, like you no longer exist. You're here to make sure everybody else is happy and taken care of. And in the process, you lose your own joy, your own happiness.
I think we should go for average, and anything above, it's just a bonus.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, again, going back to the indoctrination, there's the keeping up with the Joneses. Everybody's got to put this perception that they have to be a certain way, look a certain way, live a certain way. And that's cool if that's your truth. But if you're doing it because you're afraid of what other people are going to think of you, or they're going to judge you. I thought when we talk about, you know, college, you know, it's like the stickers on the back of the car. Like, who are those really for? Like, are you there because it's for your kid, or you're there to say, well, look at me, because my kid goes to there, and now I want you to think I'm special or I'm significant.
Yeah, there's psychological behind that. You're right.
So let's, you know, I just want to talk about, you know, the emptiness thing a little more, because, you know, I have a lot of uncertainty with it. Like I said, my kids are home now, but there's going to be a time. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm going to be alone, right? Like I have a great husband, but I still feel like I'm going to be alone, because I'm going to feel like I'm going to lose that identity. Even though you said, you know, of course, you're always a mom. But it's like, okay, like nobody's around. Like, what do I do now? And then there's the issue of, you know, like, you know, I'm very fortunate. We are very fortunate. We have a great relationship. But then there are those moms that are not in relationships, not married, maybe divorced, maybe widowed. And that's a totally whole nother experience. So, you know, how do you help them, you know, navigate that?
So the three things so I have a Facebook group called Moms Who Dare. And in that group, there's like 1,800 women. And there are divorcees, there are widows, there are single moms, and moms in partnerships. And when they join, they answer a question. And what I've learned is the biggest, first of all, let me address this. It is hard to be in your house when the stillness hits, and I call stillness. And I have to share with you, I recently in October had to say goodbye to my dog of 17 years. And I came home and my nest was empty. Mm. I didn't realize my nest was not empty. I had a dog. And it filled, for those of you that have an animal, you know, a cat, a dog, it filled. Now my house is still. There is no movement. There is no noise. There's no reason for me to get up every 2 hours and go outside. So it threw me back to that sadness. So you have to sit with your feelings. You have to feel your feelings. You don't want to run through them. I say daring, get out, get moving, but feel your feelings. You're allowed to feel sad. And then what? So if it's feeling like you're disconnected to your partner, you can feel like you're disconnected to your children, because you are farther down on the field. You're not on the sidelines to the field. You're farther back on the field. You're in the nosebleed seats now for your kids. And there's a disconnecting to feeling from community and yourself. So there's the way you can use daring for that is to, for yourself, start with yourself first, if you want. And everything starts with a list. So you could do this for your partner, for yourself. What are some things that you liked to do before you were even someone's significant other, wife, partner? What are some things you like to do on your own? Did you used to like hiking? Did you used to read books? Did you used to like going to the movies? Like, what did you like to do? Did you just like to have a mom's night, a girl's night out with your girlfriends? And make a list of the things you used to like to do. Did you travel? Do you miss traveling? Make a list without judgment, without thinking about it, without fear. Just write the list, as crazy as it all might seem. And then look at the list. And as you read your list, tap into how it makes you feel. If you get a little bit of even like, oh, I don't know if I could do that now, you must pay attention to that thing on your list. Because yes, it's something you miss doing, but you're having a little doubt because you're so far removed from it. You can do the same thing with your partner. Get together, make a list, talk about what did we used to do when we dated? What were some of our favorite things we did when we dated? Did we like going to live music together? Did we like to cook together? Make your list and then go through the list and then try things. And here's what I say about the fear of, what if you try it and you don't like it? What if the fear you try it and you're not, like maybe you're a lifelong learner, not me. Don't want to go to school. No, thank you. Been there, done that. But I have friends that want to take classes, that want to just be lifelong students. I'm a student of a different game, not in a classroom.
Right.
What if I take a class, but I'm not, my memory is not as good? Or what if it's what Joe said in our part one together, is it's happening for you. You know what you had to try it so that you learned, like, I liked it, but it's not for me today. Cross it off the list, moving on to the next thing. And when you dare to make your list, you're opening up to possibility and opportunity. When you make a list with your partner, you're coming together. And you might see on your list that, like for me and my husband loves golf, I love tennis. That's our separate thing, and it's okay to have separate things. But how can you bring it together? My girlfriend, Adina, who's a wonderful coach, she has a day swap dare. Dare to day swap. So Joe and Adam might look like, okay, Joe, well, I'll use the example of what happened with me and Sam. Sam loves to golf. I love to go hiking. He doesn't love hiking. I'm not talking about crazy hiking. I'm talking about simple hikes. I like to be out in nature, on a nature trail, walking. So one day, we decided it was a beautiful afternoon that he wanted to play 9 holes of golf and I wanted to be outside. So he took me to the golf course with him. I walked and I walked alongside of him while he played 9 holes. We had the best time, and I got to see how lit up he was on that golf course, and it reminded me how much he loved golf. And then we took a trip to Vermont and he let me pick a trail. And I complained more on this trail than he did. And it was great. We were there, just the two of us. And we hiked to this waterfall. And we're like, wow. And he's like, and he got to see how much I relaxed and was calm and how fully present I was when I'm out in nature. So a day swap is a great way to connect. Do that with your kids if they live out of state. Go visit your kids. And when they say, what do you want to do? Don't tell them what you want to do. Say, plan a day. I want to go to all your favorite places. Show me where you have that coffee that you're calling me every day from the coffee shop. Show me where you walk. This is a way to get daring together and for yourself.
I think that's great, because it is a matter of, you know, what I'm hearing you saying is just get into your heart.
Yes.
Connect with that other person. See what lights them up and see how you can support them. Because I think, you know, in our marriage, we both, how can I love and support you?
Yep.
How can you love and support me? And if it's doing something together, or it's allowing you to go on a girls' trip, girls' weekend away, whatever. Like, because it's like, you know, you want your person to be happy. You want them.
Yeah.
The world doesn't revolve around us, and those are healthy relationships. So I think, you know, everything you're saying is spot on.
And you know what else? When you talk about being a single woman in empty nest or midlife, what I've learned from the single women in my life is community.
Right.
Today more, and it's scary to do it alone. So if you have friends, if you have that bestie, call her up and say, I know I've always wanted, excuse me, I've always wanted to do this. Would you come with me?
Right.
Would you do this with me? And today there's all sorts of places to meet, but there's Meetup. Meetup is a fabulous place, because Meetup is a place where you can find people of similar interests. You can join a biking club, a hiking club, a book club. I mean, my gosh, I can't get over what people are doing at Meetup. I have a woman who is a mentor in my community, Mom Sudera. She has this Wanderbug travel club. She does backyard adventures here in our area. So many single women want to travel and get out and do more. She finds the coolest things to do. So, you know, as daring, as scary as it is, these communities, they're waiting for you.
100%.
They are not judging you. This is not middle school anymore. We're 40, 50, 60 some year old women. They're waiting for you to join them. They want to meet you as much as you want to meet them.
And I think the key that you're saying is, this is a lesson I've learned on my journey, is do what lights you up. So if you have an interest in hiking, you have an interest in traveling, go do those things, because you'll connect with individuals who are like-minded.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're going because, well, I'm lonely, and Jody said to go to a meetup group, and you go to a meetup group that doesn't resonate with you, you're going to go, and energetically, you're going to find out, you're going to find other people who just aren't on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
You know, that was a friggin' waste of my time, because you're not doing it aligned with who you are,
right.
your voice.
The dares I'm sharing, these are all suggestions. Look at possibility and opportunities, and the things you talk about, Joe and Nat, the things I talk about, the things you hear other people talk about, as invitations, as, you know, considerations. And it goes back to also part one, where questions. So ask yourself, if you want to talk strictly about yourself, What can I do now? You know, oh my God, empty. Now what? Now what do I do? What is something I used to like doing before I was even married? Mm-hmm. What is something I used to like doing? What is something I always wanted to try and do, but I kept putting off because of the attention I put on everybody else for these years? And then the third is, what do I see somebody else doing that I'm secretly thinking every time I see it, oh God, I could do that. I could be good at that. Like, I'm listening to this podcast. I could be a podcast host, but you're scared to say it because what would people think? Who am I to be a podcast? Write these things down. And if those are the thoughts that enter your mind, you're right on point with what you want to try. But those are three good questions to start your list.
And that's when you dare on.
Yeah.
They're on.
Right. They're on. I love that. Right. It's just so, it's so freeing.
It's fun. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
So this has been awesome. We're definitely going to have you back in the future.
Oh my God, yes.
But for those individuals who like, Jody, I resonate. I don't have a community. You know, maybe they are single, or maybe they're in a marriage where they realize that now that their kids are gone, they're going to have to confront things in their marriage that are going to be uncomfortable with that. It's going to take a lot of faith, and they need a support system. They need a community, or maybe someone who can assist them on their journey. How can they reach out to you? How can they connect with you? What's the best way?
Yeah. So the two best ways is, you know, if you're on Facebook, find the Moms Who Dare Facebook group. Absolutely come there. It is a welcoming community. It's for introverts and extroverts because it's all virtual. Yeah. And it's community, it's connection, it's personal growth and experiences all there. And then the other one is head over to jodysilverman.com. The podcast information's there. There's a little more about me and a contact form. You can email me directly from there.
And we'll put the link to jodysilverman.com and the Facebook group in the description of this podcast. Yeah. So we got you covered.
Yeah, no, but this was great. Jody, I even said after the first time we spoke, I love your energy.
Oh, thank you.
So uplifting and so refreshing.
Oh, well, thank you. And back at you guys. Again, so grateful, so full of gratitude to be part of your show and to share with your audience, and, you know, grateful for everybody listening in. And yeah, I mean, I'm very approachable. You can send me a message, a question, a comment. I'll respond.
Absolutely. Well, Jody, it's been an honor and privilege, and we are so grateful for you taking time out of your life and your schedule to share your insights with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you soon.